Today's scripture is Luke 15, 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
There's a news story from December 2018, which is just this past. It was about a woman named Joanne Johnson who lost her wedding ring. She lost it in a Target, I think it was. She was in there looking at Instant Pots and trying to decide which model that she was going to purchase. One, she opened up and actually looked inside at the size of it. But sometime later, she discovered that her wedding ring is missing. She and her husband have been married 20 years at this point, so the ring has some significance to her. And she went to customer service. She did all the things that you would normally do when you're trying to find something that you'd lost. Well, fast forward to Christmas. So this was October when she went on this shopping expedition. Christmas, a woman named Shiloh Avery is opening her Christmas presents, and her husband has bought her an Instant Pot. And so she has opened the package and she's opened the box, and there in the Instant Pot, or in the box, is a wedding ring. And of course, it probably had the look of something that's been worn, you know, for a period of time. So she knows that this is not some new ring that he has purchased her. And she knows that some poor woman is grieving the loss of this ring. So she gets on Facebook and she posts that she's found it, found this ring. Voila. Joanne Johnson sees the post, and the two people, Joanne and Avery, is that right? Shiloh, connect, and the ring gets back to its owner. And you can just imagine, can't you, how she felt, this thing that she had lost, she now has, the thing that she never thought she would get back again. She has. Well, this sort of sets the stage for our text today. I want you to taste it. I want you to remember something that you had lost and you found that you didn't know that you would ever find again. By the way, local business guy told me a couple of weeks ago that Sarah Lim, the director of the Historical Society down at the courthouse, the old courthouse, called him one day and said, "Was your grandfather so-and-so, and was your great-grandfather so-and-so?" And he said, "Yes," and begins telling stories. And she says, "Well, we have your grandfather or great-grandfather's fireman's badge." Somebody found it. One of our local supervisors found it, in fact, in the Merced River up near Snelling. another found story, you know. It's another one of those, can you believe this sort of thing? Well, Jesus, as you know, associated with tax collectors and sinners. He loved hanging around people that no one else wanted for a variety of reasons. And Luke tells us that tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus. This is one of the magnificent things about that, because of all the people that were around Jesus, the ones that were really listening, really paying attention, were the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees, Luke says, were complaining that Jesus was associating with people like that. Complaining. What kind of person are you? I mean, why, where's your taste? Where's your standards? Where's your righteous behavior hanging around folks like this? That's the context. And so Jesus says, I want to tell you some stories. So Jesus-like, isn't it? I mean, that's what he does, is he tells us a story. I recently, I know you guys probably get tired of me talking about ALF, but I was at a meeting of ALF people. There were 10 to 12 there. The purpose of the meeting was to talk about the three practices week that we had just had 2 weeks ago. The goal of three practices is to teach people, very diverse people, people with very diverse ideologies, how to communicate with each other, how to treat each other with nobility and civility, and to, yes, even make some progress in what they're able to accomplish. Around this table, there were men and women, there was Hispanics, African Americans, Hmongs, at typical ALF functions, you may have Indian, you may have gay people as well as straight people. They're just hugely diverse. And the purpose of this meeting, it was a breakfast meeting, was to talk about race. What a better place to do that than in a group like that. And it was ultimately about alienation and throwaway people. It's like people that we don't feel like we can, we really need to have in our lives, that we can't benefit from, that can't and somehow bless our lives or stretch our minds. The Pharisees were basically saying that some people aren't worth talking to. That's what it really boils down to. Some people are not worth talking to. And so the Jews prayed, God, I'm thankful that you made me neither Samaritan nor female. That was their point of view. If you were traveling to point A, from point A to point B, and it went through Samaria, the straightest line, you would go all the way around, take longer to get there in order to avoid having contact with Samaritans. In Jesus' way of thinking, one should have an alienated person by the hand, including them and leading them on a journey of empowerment, of saying, let me include you in my life, let me introduce you to the people I associate with, let me be generous to you, let me help you in some way to achieve what I've achieved. We don't do that today, really. I'm talking generally speaking in our culture. We hang around in our own little tribes. We assume that if somebody has a contrary opinion to ours, that they're really not worth being with. And so we don't do this interaction, this mixing and mingling and talking and listening to other people. Well, and one of two parables. One is the parable of the lost sheep. The one I want to talk about today is the dowry, and it's the one that I have some pictures for. A woman has lost one coin of her dowry. Let that coin represent any lost person. So that's Jesus' point in telling this story. Lost meaning rejected, ignored, pushed out, hated, disdained, whatever you want to call it. According to Craig Keener, these 10 silver coins would have been bound in the woman's ketubah or headpiece. It was her dowry. It was what she carried. It was what made her marriageable. And every bride had a dowry. This dowry had 10 coins. It was probably equivalent to 10 days' work. So it gives you some insight into how poor she was. So here are some pictures of what this might have looked like. Coins that are that are part of. Is there another one besides that one? So that gives you some notion of what this looks like. It might have even been a more elaborate headpiece that these were bound in. So you can imagine how she guarded these 10 coins. Without a husband, she really had no protector. She had no way of being in the society. She was just alone. And might conceivably have to turn to prostitution or any number of things in order to make a living. So these 10 coins are everything to her. And she's lost one of them. So she discovers it, you know, as she's going to bed at night or as she's getting dressed in the morning. And you know, when you lose something like that, it kind of blows up in your head, doesn't it? I mean, you can't think about anything else but that. Oh, dear, I've lost my wedding ring, or I've lost my this, or I've lost my that, and I've got to find it because it's so precious to me. And that's how she feels. And you can imagine how she felt when she found it. I think that the missing coin raises the question of what constitutes the dearest object that we would turn our house upside down for. What would you do if you knew that your house was going to burn down in 10 minutes and you've got 10 minutes to go in your house and rescue one thing, not a person, one thing. Everybody else is safe, but one thing. What would it be? What would just crush you if you didn't have it anymore? Is it a picture? Is it technology? Is it financial documents? What is it? Final note to this parable is the energy that the woman expended in looking for the object. She could have easily had said, oh, it'll be where it is in the morning when I wake up. It'll be fine. I'll look in the morning. Or she might have said, you know, look for it right now. I don't have to do that. I can go on with my life, and when I get time, I'll go back and look for this coin. But she doesn't. It says that she turns her house upside down looking for it. Of course, they didn't have many possessions. It's not like a modern-day house, but can you just imagine all her furnishings out on the street as she's sweeping and looking in every corner of the house for this coin? I think you see a similar kind of energy in the other parable, the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells this parable about a man who has 100 sheep. One of them gets lost. Now, who's going to leave their 99 safe sheep to go find one? This makes no sense. And the people listening to the parable would have understood that. They would have gone, what kind of shepherd is he that he would risk 99 to find one? But I think what Jesus wants us to see in this is the value that God places on one person. God created us all, right? We're loved, every one of us, by God. So she turns her house upside down. The shepherd leaves his 99 and goes out into the wilderness to find his one lost one. So here's where the parable gets really uncomfortable. And it's what I want to leave you with this, and I hope you struggle with it. Because I think the parable asks me to think about the value that I place on any one person in the world. What value do I place on? What effort do I expend in order to persuade or influence one person? I knew a guy once who used to say, nobody's interested in our message. And I never said this to him. There's a part of me that sort of wishes I could. And that is, I would say to him, Bob, that's hogwash. That's just your way of getting away with not having to expend energy and prayer and thought and concern and all of that. That's just your excuse for not wanting to hang around with people that make you uncomfortable. So I think the parable really makes me ask, how concerned am I about other people? It's reflected in what I do with my life relative to other people. Lost people, alienated people, hurt people, poor people. What do I do that shows my love for them? What kind of energy do I expend in order to be involved in their life? I think that if Jesus was here today in the U.S. and he was to tell this story and he was to tell it in a way that we understood what he was saying, I think it'd make a lot of people mad, frankly. Really do. So let me give you three ways to think about this parable, and then we'll conclude. First, these parables were spoken specifically in reaction to the way that Pharisees showed their disapproval of some people. That's number one. So that's what starts it all, is this kind of looking down your nose sort of approach to other people. You know, I don't like their I don't like the way they dress, or I don't like the people they hang around with, or I don't like what they do. And I think Jesus would say, doesn't matter. They're all fair game for the love of Christ, demonstrated through you. Second, the parable shows us a model of what it looks like when we respond to lost folks in the way that Jesus wants us to. It's like a shepherd looking for one lost sheep that goes out into the wilderness. It's like a woman turning her house upside down to find a lost coin. That's the model. And third, and finally, the parables show that indifference is not permitted. It is not an attitude of a Jesus follower. It just is not. I can't live with myself if I just go to bed and go, you know, it was a good week, I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and now I'm getting ready for church tomorrow, and I'm going to go to church and punch my Christian ticket, you know. It just doesn't leave any room for that. Because Jesus describes someone who is passionately interested in the lost thing. So the question for the week is, how does the parable strike you? Where does it intersect your life? What changes do you think it calls forth when you think about what Jesus was saying and to whom he was saying it? Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us to have the love of a shepherd looking for a lost sheep. May we see the inherent worth of every person granted to them by you. May we be people who lay everything down at the cross in order to find those people who are wandering in the wilderness, alone and without you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.